hopes it come to be. And people gather around, they offer all what they can bring. And nobody went with that. I don't know the song to sing. The revolution starts now.
Good afternoon and welcome to Richmond Indie Media News, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we bring you the news directly from our website at richmond.indymedia.org. That's Indie Media, I-N-D-Y, for independent media. We are independent of corporate sponsorship, independent of corporate control, and independent of a profit motive, and what a difference that makes in bringing you the news. I want to inspire all of you every week by introducing you to people who are passionately involved in areas and issues and causes that directly affect you. Social justice, women's rights, the environment, and today we're talking about elections. I want to encourage you to take your role as citizen very, very seriously. Get out and vote today and take someone with you. And I want to empower you to become part of the conversation through our website, richmond.indymedia.org. You can go there and post articles, book reviews. You can upload photographs or video, audio. You can make comments on articles that other people have written. You can connect yourself to the world of independent media centers through our more than 100 links to independent media centers around the globe. I want you all to grab a pen, grab a friend, and settle in, because you don't want to miss a minute of this show today. You know, voting is arguably the greatest of all our freedoms, the ability to participate in our government. From that ability to have a voice, all of our other freedoms flow. After the 2000 presidential election in Florida exposed the dangers of punch card ballots and other vintage voting systems, the federal government appropriated $3 billion to help state and local authorities overhaul the way we record our votes. When the polls opened this morning for our national midterm election, more than 90% of the polling places across the country will be equipped with the new high-tech systems. But instead of bringing the accuracy, efficiency, and reliability of our corner ATM machines, the wholesale makeover of the United States voting system has brought with it a new set of concerns: the possibility of software bugs, freeze-ups, vulnerability to hackers, and new forms of human error that can bring their own chaos and controversy. For example, in Maryland, doubts about the state's touchscreen system were so serious that Republican Governor Robert Ehrlich urged voters to cast absentee ballots instead of going to their neighborhood precincts. Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Virginia, three of the states with the most contested Senate races, do not mandate a paper backup of each vote. While the old voting systems were far from uniform and far from error or corruption, the stakes in today's election to decide who controls the House and the Senate are just too high to shrug off the possibility of serious problems. This issue is a matter of national security. The legitimacy of government depends on getting our elections right. Because of the vulnerability of electronic voting technology to illegal tampering, the desire for more speed in tallying votes should never be allowed to take precedence over accuracy. Voter confidence is at the very heart of a healthy and functioning democratic form of government. And a lack of confidence in voting integrity can erode the very base of a democracy. It is that confidence that each of our individual voices is being heard. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I am live here in Studio B for this half hour of the Richmond Indie Media News Show with Clay Landa, the policy analyst for the State Board of Elections. Clay, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
I cannot imagine a busier day for you than today, and for you to take the time out to come here and be with us today speaks volumes to me about the State Board of Elections' commitment to keep the public in the loop, to educate us, to be our watchdog in a sense, and to come out and talk to us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We agree that it's very important that everyone learn where they're going to vote, how they're going to vote, and take part in the process, especially today. It's a very important election for most people out there, and we encourage everyone to go vote.
Can you give us a little bit of background of the State Board of Elections?
Sure. The State Board was actually formed in 1946, so we've been around. We just had our 60-year anniversary. It's a three-member board appointed by the governor. Two members actually serve the party of the governor, and one member is the party of the other party. We just have two recognized political parties, the Democrats and Republicans. The secretary is appointed specifically to be the administrative head, to carry out the laws and carry out the policies enacted by the state board. So the staff, which I have one, actually report to the secretary, and we administer the election laws.
I wondered how, if you could bring us up to date on how things have been going today.
It's been very busy. That's probably the first thing we can state. We don't have turnout predicted throughout the day. Some localities do that. For example, I know in Chesterfield, I did speak to the registrar. I got an email from him there. Turnout was already at roughly 38,000, probably by about 10:30 or 11 this morning. So that was at a much faster clip than it was for the last midterm election or last year, for example, in the gubernatorial election. I've gotten the same reports from Charlottesville, Fauquier County, basically everywhere, stating that they're treating this as a presidential-type year. The turnout looks like it's going to reach almost those levels.
I understand that Virginia uses three different types of voting machines throughout the Commonwealth, and a lot of those machines are new this year. Are you having any reports of how those machines are going, how all that new equipment is working?
We have three basic types, if you want to say. People can still use a paper ballot, but only for very specific reasons. You can't just walk in and request a paper ballot. We have optical scan or mark sense machines, which is like a Scantron. You actually fill in the bubbles and insert it in a counter. And we have a direct recording electronic device, which is known as a DRE. That's actually the electronic equipment where you're touching a screen and typing it into the equipment. The reports we've had today, for the most part, have been a human error type report and a very low number. Personally, I had a person who called in and said they are sticking a card into the machine every time that a voter needs to vote, and they thought that may be a problem with the power supply. That's actually how the equipment works. They stick in an access card to say, get the ballot ready for this specific person, and they pull up the ballot card. They then remove that card and the voter votes. So those are the kind of problems we've had so far. We haven't had any equipment malfunctions, such as equipment is down for an extended period of time. The one that actually has a paper ballot, I have had two reports of an optical scanner who was, it went down for some reason. It was up and back and counting votes within an hour. In the meantime, they can, they keep the paper ballots and they can insert them in the machine after that, or if they needed to, they could hand count them at the end of the day, but that hasn't happened.
So you must be pretty pleased.
Yeah, everything seems to be going well so far.
You guys have been training poll workers for a couple of years now, have you, or how's that been going?
Well, we at the State Board, we actually directly supervise the registrars in each locality, each county and city, and the local electoral boards. So each county and city has a three-member electoral board, very similar to the state board. Two of them currently are Democrats and one being a Republican. Those local officials actually train the officers of election you see in each polling place. So it's kind of a tiered structure. But we have an annual training for general registrars and electoral boards. Every year we really try and take the lessons we learned from last year. We track all of our complaints, all of our calls, to find out what are the biggest issues, and that's what we try and train for the local level for the next year, to make sure if there was a problem, we can address it.
I know that this year it's important for, because this is considered a federal election, that there are some special circumstances for a number of our voters. Can you bring us up to date on that, Clay?
Sure. The law that you spoke about, the federal law that was passed in 2002, it was the Help America Vote Act. It set about certain requirements for voters who register by mail. So if a voter out there has registered by mail, and it's since January 1, 2003, and they have not yet voted in a federal election, there's a certain federal ID requirement they have to meet when they show up at the polling place. It's very similar to Virginia's identification, valid and current photo identification. That's all it really states. So you can use a driver's license, a state-issued ID. If you don't have one of those, you could use a bank statement or current utility bill. anything that's issued by a government that has your name and address. So the voter card that your locality sends to you, that complies under the federal law. If you have none of those IDs, you can still vote. You'll have to vote a provisional ballot, and then the electoral board will consider it tomorrow. There is no requirement that that voter show back up to show that ID, though. It will be counted if they're found to be a registered voter.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM here in Richmond. And folks, it's the day to go out and cast your ballot. And stay right here at WRIR tonight at 7 o'clock for live election coverage. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, here on the Richmond Indie Media News Show, live in Studio B with Clay Landa, the policy analyst for the State Board of Elections, and we are talking about how things are going today in Virginia. If you want to know more about your precinct, about your ballot, about your voting machine, Clay, how can people get in touch with an official right now today so that they can go out and cast their vote?
The quickest way to get in touch with the state board, we have a website if you have access to the web. It's at www.sbe, standing for State Board of Elections, .virginia.gov. The word Virginia is spelled out. We have a wealth of information right there. You can type in your address. There's an application to type in your address. It'll tell you your polling place. If you have a DMV PIN, which is a number DMV can assign you to do online access, if you have that, you can find out right there if you're registered to vote. We can give you that information because you've supplied us something. We know who you are. You can also call us. And our 1-800 number is 1-800-552-9745. You can go through a series of prompts, basically. Are you just calling to see if you're registered to vote, where your polling place is? I think by this morning at like 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, we'd already received over 300 calls. So we're receiving calls that are kind of on the level of a presidential year election. So we know there's a lot of interest out there. We definitely want you to get through to us. If the line's, you're not going to be busy line, but if you do get put on hold, please wait and someone will get to you as soon as possible. You can also contact your local registrar. All of that information's on our website, how to contact each local individual registrar. There's 134 of them out there, so I don't have all their phone numbers with me, but it's all on our website. Most of them have their own individual websites if you did a search for them as well.
And that 800 number one more time?
Sure. It's 1-800-552-9745. And that'll get you in touch with the staff of the State Board of Elections. And they can determine if you're registered to vote, where your polling place is located, the address of your polling place, and any other information or questions you may have, we should be able to help you.
And you can also go to WRIR.org. There are all kinds of links on our radio website. And you can go to http://canivote.org to also get information about where you're supposed to vote and some of the other questions that you might have. Clay, we said earlier that Virginia is one of the states that does not mandate a paper backup of each vote. And we also said that the State Board of Elections is a bipartisan, non-political agency. I am interested in how the paper trail could be mandated in the state of Virginia. I know that you have no option other than to follow the law as it is legislated to you from our General Assembly. Can you give us a little bit of background about how it came to be that we are at a point now with no paper trail backing up our voting?
Well, we've first of all, in Virginia, we have had the electronic voting equipment prior to the passage of this federal law, the federal law that either required it to be accessible to persons with a disability. So we've been using it prior to that. The law had always stated you could have electronic voting equipment, and it had to meet certain certification guidelines. The certification we do, we actually have an independent testing authority to make sure that it counts votes. They do check all of the software and programming to make sure it's working the way it's supposed to be working.
When you say independent, how can you explain that for us a little bit?
Sure. Just because the state board, we don't have the IT staff that does that kind of level. We actually hire a independent testing authority. These are people who have been certified as independent testing authorities. It used to be under the National Association of State Election Directors, a very long term. It has just been transferred to the new federal agency, the Election Assistance Commission. So they certify equipment nationally. They certify that someone can be an independent testing authority, and then we do a certification at the state level to make sure it does what it's supposed to do. Before every election, we then, the localities, the local electoral board or general registrar, tests each piece of equipment. every piece of equipment in every one of their precincts gets tested. And what they do is they insert every type of ballot, or they do every combination of voting that they could do for those candidates to make sure it's counting the votes the way it's supposed to. When they test it, they seal it that time so that no tampering can take place. They seal it with seals that have to be removed by officers on election day, so you'd know if someone broke into the equipment.
So each machine is tested and then given a seal.
That's correct.
Which is not broken until it is time for it to be used to count ballots?
Yeah, the seal might not even actually have to, depending upon the equipment, the seal may even actually stay on the equipment all day, because that's the seal that's actually locking up the electronic storage, the memory. So there's no reason for an officer of election to necessarily go in there. If there's a problem with the equipment will be brought down, essentially. They won't use it. If there really was a malfunction in the polling place, there's technicians on staff for each locality. The electoral board has to name technicians ahead of time so you know who they are, and they can go out and repair the equipment if there really was a problem.
All 134 precincts have?
Every one of the 134 localities has to have a voting equipment technician who can fix the equipment on election day. As I said, we had a report this morning that a piece of a scanner that was scanning an electronic ballot, or excuse me, scanning the optical scan ballot, was having a problem. It was one of those that they just opened the polls and there was a problem. People still cast their ballots. They inserted it into a private ballot box so nobody saw how they voted. And then they brought the equipment back up not even less than an hour later, and they could insert them to be counted.
You know, ever since the 2000 election, I know all of us are so leery about what happens if there is a need to recount. Even last year in our own attorney general's race, the need to recount. If you don't have a paper trail, Clay, how in the world can that recounting be done without having the machine that has the problem be the solution? It just doesn't seem logical to me.
For example, in the recount we had last year for Attorney General, the way Virginia's laws were rewritten in 2001 by the General Assembly was, even if you have a paper ballot or a paper-based ballot, that optical scan ballot that you put into a counter, even if you have one of those, they're not automatically going to be counted again. They're not going to be run through those same scanners again automatically. That's what state law basically was changed to say. It can only happen if the printout from the machine was unclear, meaning that if you have the printed out at the end of the day clip and it says candidate A got 570, candidate B got 575, only if that is unclear can they rerun it, or unless the court requests it. But that language caused some problem for the court here, that they didn't know why they would make such a request. The law didn't state that they would do it for due cause or if some cause was shown. So even if we had the paper trail right now, the law, the recount law in the state of Virginia, would not mandate it that they be rerun or looked at all the individual ballots. It would take a law change to say that the paper trail is the official ballot and shall be counted.
When the federal government passed the Help America Vote Act in 2002, it did not mandate a national standard for our elections. Is that right?
It mandated some standards. If we're talking about a paper trail, it didn't mandate a paper trail.
It left that up to local authorities
jurisdictions. It does require that you have a paper system so you could conduct a recount, but that can be as simple as what we're talking about, printing out the returns that show how many votes were for each candidate. It did mandate some standards, such as far as accessibility. Every polling place has to be accessible. You have to have one piece of equipment that's accessible for persons with a disability so that they can vote privately and independently, which prior to this, it could have been a problem. A person who was blind, a person who was wheelchair bound, may not have been able to vote without the assistance of someone else. And in that, they're giving up a private and independent ballot. So what these machines do allow, they have audio ballot capability. They have capability that if you're a quadriplegic, you can still vote and you won't have to ask anybody for assistance. And some of the best calls we've ever gotten were that a voter voted for the first time in 20 years by themselves. I mean, those are the calls that make us feel that this equipment does do what it's going to do, and it's providing access for people that never had access before.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM in Richmond. This is the Richmond Indie Media News Show, and I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. Today, I'm joined live in Studio B with Clay Landa, the policy analyst from the State Board of Elections, Clay, if there are voters out there who are experiencing some confusion right now about whether or not they're eligible or registered or where they should go to vote, how can they resolve that very, very quickly right now?
The best thing to do is we contact our office directly at the State Board of Elections. And once again, I can reiterate the phone number is 1-800-552-9745. We can determine in a second whether or not you're registered to vote and your polling place. We also resolve problems. If you believe you should be registered to vote, that's a question we get a lot. I think I registered. I'm not sure. Did I mail it in? I'm not sure. We get a lot of questions. 80% of people in Virginia register through the Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV. So we get a lot of questions of, I think I registered at DMV. We can look up and see if you did try and register at DMV. We can try and locate an application that didn't make its way to the local registrar if there was a problem. But that's the kind of thing we can start resolving for you, and you need to call us right away. If you do believe you've registered to vote and something has happened, we urge you to go and cast a provisional ballot as well. It's a fail-safe that was mandated by the Help America Vote Act. Most people don't know in Virginia, we've had that ballot since the 1970s. So we were already in place to say, if there's a problem and you're not on that poll book, you need to request a provisional ballot if you believe you're registered to vote. At least you've gotten the ballot in, and we can try and find information to help you count that ballot in the days after the election.
One of the concerns about not having a paper trail has started some people in other states to encourage voters to use the absentee ballot. I know that here in Virginia you had a lot of requests for an absentee ballot. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and some of the reasons mm-hmm. that people have requested absentee ballots this year?
We've heard kind of the same thing anecdotally, that there may be some reason that people would vote absentee instead of at the polls. But what I've heard directly is voters who are just really involved in this election. We expect, what we can show is that as absentee turnout goes up, so does overall general voter turnout. And yes, we've had over 131,000 absentee ballots requested, and over 115,000 have been returned, and that was as of this morning. You can still get them back in. That's another thing. If you have an absentee ballot, you can still return it to your local registrar or electoral board up until 7 p.m. tonight, and it will count.
After 7 p.m. tonight, absentee ballots are not.
They have to be in the registrar's office by 7 p.m., and then they'll deliver them to the polling place to be counted. What we have seen, though, is the people who've been calling in have said, I just think this is a very important election. So as all the polls out there in Virginia are showing, it's a very close Senate race. There's 3 constitutional amendments on the ballot. There's advertising out there for those constitutional amendments, and that really seems to be what's driving the voter interest that we've seen.
As a State Board of Elections official, do you have any guess about what our turnout might be today?
We've tried to do some numbers on it, and it varies. But what we can say, I think it's going to be rough upwards of 60. It could be as high as 65%.
And that's pretty amazing.
That is for a midterm. In 2002, the midterm congressional election, I think turnout was less than 40%. We had an unopposed Senate race, unopposed as far as not the 2 major political parties. And there were no constitutional amendments. So I think that's a lot of reason why this is coming up to this level of turnout. The localities that have called in that I've talked to, they've all said that it feels like it's a presidential year, which a lot of people think, you know, that's the year we go vote, 2004, 2008. But it seems like that's the clip that we're running at right now.
I want to encourage everyone who's registered to vote, who's eligible to vote, to get out and vote today and to take someone with you. Voting is at the heart of our form of government. It is arguably our greatest freedom. So I really want to encourage everyone to get out there and vote. You know, Clay, I think that running the State Board of Elections may be one of the toughest jobs in all of state government because of the complexity of election laws, because of the changeover in voting equipment, because it's so involves so many volunteers. Can you speak to us a little bit about what your life has been like for the last few months?
It obviously picks up right around election time, but I think that's something that people don't realize is that we're always here. Your local registrar and electoral board are always there, and what they're there to do is make sure you get registered to vote so that when it comes to this day, you can vote. And that's what we stress 11 of the other 12 months of the year, that we want you to register to vote. We want you to know when your local elections are. People have local elections in May, and the turnout is dismal very often, 10, 12%. The primary last June, we had turnout that was less than 5%. What we want to stress is that people need to get registered to vote, and that's what we can help you with. And then on election day, it's your duty to try and get out and vote.
if people want to get more involved, if they want to participate at an even greater level other than just showing up and voting, if they want to really be there for the State Board of Elections to participate, is there a way that regular citizens can get involved?
The best thing as far as trying to really help the system of voting would be to offer as an officer of an election. We have not had a shortage of officers of election, but it's one day of work. You're not going to get any notoriety for it. You're not going to get paid very well, and you're going to work 15 or 16 hours. But if you are doing that, you're the person who is allowing other people to carry out their right to vote, and that's pretty important. The majority of our officers of election are people who are retired. We're trying to get students to get involved as well so that we can have a greater range of the population. And that's probably the thing you can do that would really help out the most to help run an election.
And I guess tomorrow wouldn't be too early to volunteer for the next election.
No, it wouldn't be too early to call today. They're a little busy today, but if you wanted to put your name on the list and try and get involved for the next election, I'm sure that the localities would really appreciate it.
I hope all of our students at our universities around town are listening to Clay's offer and will consider getting involved at the polls. Clay, what's that number for the State Board of Elections?
Sure. Our direct line is 1-800-552-9745. And then you'll have a series of prompts to answer the question that you want answered. As I said, probably 80% of our calls are, am I registered to vote and where do I go vote? But that's the information we want to supply to everyone so they can go do it.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, and thank you so much for all the work that you've done throughout these months getting us ready for today. Clay Landa, the policy analyst from the State Board of Elections. Thank you, Clay.
Thank you very much.
In our last few minutes, just want to encourage everyone to go out and vote, and also to tell you that if you stay tuned today to WRIR, you will have live election coverage starting at 7 p.m. tonight from all over the city. And so keep it tuned right here to 97.3. If you want to find out more about your precinct, your ballot, and your machine, you can go to the State Board of Elections, or you can go to our website at WRIR.org, and you will find all kinds of links there. I want to just wrap up our time together today by bringing you a little bit of the news from our website. I want to tell you that day after tomorrow, on Thursday, November the 9th, unless there is a stay, at 9 p.m., the Commonwealth of Virginia will inject a lethal substance into John Yancey Schmidt with the intention of ending his life. Schmidt is being killed because he murdered in 1999 Shelton Dunning, a security guard at the Bonaire branch of Nations Bank in Chesterfield County. Because these executions are committed in our name, it is very important that we let the governor know how we feel about the death penalty in Virginia. So contact the governor and let him know your feelings. On Thursday, November the 16th, the Richmond Peace Education Center and the Richmond Friends Meeting will be jointly sponsoring Pastor Eli Nahimana, who will be giving a public lecture entitled Healing After War and Conflict: Reconciliation Between Hutus and Tutsis in Burundi. The talk will begin at 7:30 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House, 4500 Kensington Avenue. Nahimana is the pastor of the Kambima Friends Church in Burundi, and he has taken a leading role in attempting to reconcile members of the Hutu and Tutsi communities through efforts to rebuild schools, hospitals, and other elements of the community's infrastructure. If you are interested in participating in this discussion on Thursday, November the 16th, contact Linda Heacock at 752-6752 or Adria Scharf at the Richmond Peace Education Center at 232-1002. Or find out more about this event from our website, richmond.indymedia.org. Well, Richmond, it's up to you today. get out and go vote and let your voices be heard. Until next Tuesday, when we will be joined here in Studio B by members of the Muslim Student Association from Virginia Commonwealth University, I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris. Peace out.
The Yarn Lounge in Carytown is a place where knitters can bask in the various textures and colors of natural fibers. The Yarn Lounge carries an extensive collection of well-known yarns, Rowan, Joe Sharp, and Brown Sheep, as well as Nomad Yarns, Plain and Fancy Sheep and Wool Company, and Blue Sky Alpacas. The Yarn Lounge boasts a large collection of books, bags, patterns, needles and accessories, and knitting classes offered year-round. Located at 3003 West Carey Street in Carytown, near the intersection of West Carey and Shepherd Streets, more information is available at 340-2880 or on the web at theyarnlounge.com. I'm saying the revolution starts now.